You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 246. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan, and in Montreal they call me Michel, though. Michel.
Hey, you got it out, Cap. It took a second there.
Got a little tongue-tied.
You can find me on the road. I'm going to Ardmore, Oklahoma tonight, but I think by the time this comes out, that'll be done with. And then tomorrow, September 15th, I will be in Georgetown, Texas. And the next day, September 16th, I will be at Hyenas in Dallas, Texas, with the great Andrew Heaton, the mighty Heaton, coming out to those shows. There's still good seats still available, as they say.
I find that hard to believe. All the Heaton heads take all the good seats, I thought, but.
Well, but, that's the thing. They buy at the door, so you never know. The Heaton heads, we need the Bunker Babes out there, though.
Yeah, get there, beat the Heaton heads.
It is the last day of Jewish New Year, but Kaplan has given you permission to come to the show.
It's Yom Kippur, but I am, as we've discussed, a Kohen, a very holy Jew, and I am saying, yeah. I'm giving you permission. I'm like, think of me as a rabbi. I'm your rabbi. I'm saying go. You have to enjoy yourself. It's been a tough year. You atone for your sins and then go laugh. Have
go
a good
laugh.
Time.
The sun's down. It. The sun will be down by the time I'm on stage.
Go eat and laugh and drink.
They be got merry. Fries there, I think. Anyway, Dallas,
got
Texas.
Bagels.
Hyenas Comedy Club. September 16th. Go to they'll bring in bagels for the show.
They'll bring in some schmear. You'll teach them what schmear is, and then they'll
Go to turnersparks.com to get tickets to that. Kaplan. Oh, also one more thing I want to say. On Thursday morning, so Thursday night I'll be at Hyenas. Thursday morning, I'm hosting a virtual book talk with the great Bill Dodson, the author,
who's
a Patreon subscriber of ours, but also I've known him since when we lived in China together. He's written multiple books. This book is called Virtually International. It's a book about working virtual internationally. So it's changed our lives. These people who are international business people, you don't have to fly to Dubai anymore to do business. You don't have to fly to China. He has a whole book about that. He has a chapter I want to get into specifically about, because when he and I were in China, you had to drink every business meeting. You had to get hammered with these Chinese like government officials at
That's
like
part
11
of the culture. If you want to get things done. Yeah.
It's part of the culture, and if you don't like it, you should be canceled, because drinking heavily at 11 a.m. is part of the culture. And he has a chapter in his book now. It still continues, but you do it virtually. So you get up at like 6 a.m. for their dinner meetings, but you have to drink with them.
It's
so
like
we're
going to
be talking about
hour.
That 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 1800 Greenwich Mean Time. He wanted me to make sure to say, because this is an international audience. We'll be on Facebook, on his YouTube channel, Bill Dodson, Virtually International. Check that out. You can find Kaplan on all social media platforms at Cap in America.
That's me.
On the show today, we're talking to Graham Kaye. He's back, the Canadian Graham Kaye. Justin Trudeau called for an election. And now they're having it, and he might not win. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Before that, one last thing. Patreon.com/Lost in America. If you like this show, we have 52 Patreon subscribers. I think we're almost at $400 a month. As everyone knows, when we get to $400 a month, we're throwing a yearly party at the Friars Club in New York City for all of our Patreon subscribers.
Yearly? Like that.
Well, we're going to do it one year.
We're just assuming we're never going to lose those patrons. We're going to keep going.
That's true. We could go down.
Yeah.
If we dip under 400, it's off.
It's
but once we get to 400. And so for $5 a month, you get 3 extra episodes of this podcast. You get Cap and I.
Better
Live
podcast.
From the Bunker, 30-minute full-throttle comedy podcast 3 times a week. For $10, you get a T-shirt. Lost in America, when we went to number one in Armenia, we made T-shirts celebrating going to number one in Armenia. And you can also get a mug T-shirts, as Kaplan's showing to all your YouTube subscribers. Oh, we should say like and subscribe. We've never said that before.
If you like the show, like and subscribe. Yes.
If you're watching it, you already like it, Kaplan. You don't have to say if you like it.
No, if you're watching this show, just hit the like button, pound it. We got to get better at this. But yeah, subscribe. Tell all your friends.
Even if you hate us, do all
even
that.
Even if you hate us, subscribe.
All right, that's fine. For 20 bucks a month, you get your own advertisement on this show once a month,
which we're going to read today. We got one.
We have one coming up later from Dennis Owens.
Yes.
All right, now let's get to today's topic, Cap. So
Canada.
Twice in a couple months here, we're doing Canada episodes, which is pretty wild.
We're giving
People
them a. We're going to make
not
the Canadians
interesting.
Feel-
they say it's not an interesting country, and then here we go. You know.
Yeah.
Well, it's more interesting. I think it's an interesting country. Americans don't think it's an interesting country.
We haven't even introduced you yet. Give us a second, Graham. So we're talking.
You know,
I apologize. Now Graham's looking at me like I just don't leave. Don't leave.
No. Thank you for
Canadians.
Having me. And as a Canadian, I'd like to give you an official Canadian apology.
Okay. Thank you very much. Cap, what do you know about this? And then we'll bring
well,
you
real quick, we know that I think Justin Trudeau, who everyone loves or used to love, he decided he's not getting things done. Like, he doesn't have enough power in Parliament, so he's called for some elections because he thought he would just, like, get a huge mandate. He would get a big, big victory. He's conquered COVID over there. Everyone loves him. And now we're seeing – I think it's a big unforced error because in the polls, they're really tight. And it would be amazing if he just lost the election because he called it – because people are mad at him because he called elections too soon. So
here's what I know is that he called the election 2 years early. So he was supposed to – he wasn't supposed to have another election for 2 more years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he called it early. It's kind of like when, like, NBA players try to get their extension, like, 2 years early.
And they say,
like,
trade
I need
me
a
now.
7-year extension. They're like, your contract's not even up yet. Like, I just need an extension. Except for the difference of this, if you don't get – this would be like if you don't get the extension, you get sent to the Chinese League to play basketball or something.
Yeah.
Like, you're just out all of a sudden, as far as I understand.
Well, the team says it's mad at you for asking for money, and, yeah, they trade you.
Welcome to the show, Graham K. Everybody, follow him, Instagram K, on Instagram. Instagram, like the word Instagram, K-A-Y. Fantastic comedian. On the road all over the place. Welcome.
It's not like the word Instagram. It's Instagram.
Oh.
It's my name.
It's got an H in it.
This is why I hate that. Everyone's like, this is a brilliant handle. It's not, because you have to explain it to everybody. My name is Graham K. My name is Graham. It's not. Now, Americans also don't know the fucking word, the name Graham. They can't say it. They can't hear it. They can't write it. They've never heard or seen the word Graham in their fucking life. It sucks. My name might as well be like Viltinskimorf, you know? Like, people like, I should have to change my name, you know? And they're like, my name, just call me Vili, you know? And like, I have to be like, no, just call me Graham, G-R-A-M, you know? But it's Graham.
But we don't even use Grahams in America. So,
well, we have
Graham
drugs, crackers.
Right?
And Graham
crackers.
Right,
Graham crackers.
Well, they have, yeah.
And drugs, yeah.
You guys have, I have to say Graham crackers, you know? And like, the first time I moved to America, I was playing pickup basketball with like, all black people, and I didn't get the joke. And I was like, Graham, like the cracker. And I never heard the other cracker.
Oh.
You know? Oh. Yeah.
Graham Cracker. Yeah, that would be a great basketball name, yeah.
Graham Cracker is a good, that would be a good rap name.
Yes.
Like a white rapper named Graham Cracker.
White rapper, Graham Cracker.
But Cracker is the guy who whips the slaves with the cracking of the whip. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't have a great historical.
It's not a blowhard moment. I didn't know that.
If you're a white rapper, you don't want to be that guy. That's really on the nose, you know, taking your call. Too much for me, anyway.
In Canada, Graham is like, that's a known name. I mean, I knew a kid growing up named Graham. I never knew how to spell it. I never thought about it, but.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's.
It's a more normal name.
For example, I just did a comedy club, a great comedy club in Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Winnipeg, in Canada. And the next weekend the comedian was Graham Chittenden. Two Grahams, back to back Grahams.
Oh, yeah, that
has never happened in America. Honestly.
Wait, that's a popular name.
Also, one of the other Canadian comedians I know, I believe his name is Graham Wool. No, Glenn Wool. Glenn Wool.
Glenn Wool.
I was.
Yeah. See, yeah. You can't hear Graham. If I go to Starbucks, it's like it's Greg 100% of the time.
But it's so that's a traditional Canadian name that was passed down for generations.
Well, it's just Scottish people settled.
Are you guys the descendants of the Scottish?
A lot of us, yeah. So, but anyway, there's a lot of that. Like, basically, if you go anywhere in the world that speaks English outside of America, Graham is popular. Everybody in Australia knows Graham's, you know, the UK, you can just say your name and people get it. I can say it.
And they know how to spell it.
You know where it else is popular, though? In preschools in New York City. Because the new New Yorker likes to name their kids obscure names in America. So it's gaining steam. You're going to see.
Have you seen some Grahams in preschool?
I've seen some Grahams in my kids' schools. Yeah. So in like 20 years.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You're going to be. Just wait for the Starbucks in 20 years.
One time on Instagram, I know we're not talking about this, but this random guy just on Instagram put together all the Grahams, and there was like a group chat of Grahams.
All the Grahams of Instagram?
Just that's all you had to do to qualify? First name Graham?
Just ones he found. And then there was like 20 of us. And we're all like, who the fuck is this guy?
Wow. Everyone on it.
I was once a member of a Facebook group when Facebook first started. Michael Kaplan's of the World was the name of the group. And then we had a party at my old apartment in East Village, and I invited him. I'm like, all Michael Kaplan's are welcome. And one guy showed up. I never met him before. I never seen him since. But he's like, I'm Michael Kaplan. So it's a great
bonding. The other comedian?
It was not Mike Kaplan with a Q. No, I didn't invite. I specifically said, you guys spell it properly. So
yeah. That's Cap's arch enemy is the other. Nemesis. There can't be two in the world of comedy.
No.
Even if one came a decade earlier. He's got to be out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm older. So,
I want to ask about this whole concept of calling for an election. Can you do it at any point? Like, at any point in your, what are they,
oh,
5 years?
That's a good question. Well, I believe it's 4 years, like here.
It's 4 years. And can you literally, because everyone's, the whole issue is that Trudeau was up. He thought he was like up really high in the polls. So he's watching the polls and he's like, all right, I'm going to call it now. Because I'm up by a lot. But there's still 2 years left. He doesn't actually have to run for two more years.
No. So it's the parliamentary system. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the British system. And, you know, hundreds of countries use it. And there's advantages and disadvantages. And one of the things in the parliamentary system is you can call an election when you're high in the polls. So, traditionally, if you wait your full 4 years, you're probably going to lose. Mm. That means that you don't think you're going to win, so you're not going to call it. You know what I mean? Like if you wait till the very end, it's like you're trying to get all.
You're doing
that
a bad
stuff,
job, probably polls wise.
Yeah. So you're trying to maximize your time in office. So traditionally, people call an election like sometime around the third year. And I know that sounds like a lot to Americans, but we have a law that says elections can only last a short amount of time. I forget what it is. I think it's like 3 weeks or something.
Well, yeah. So first of all, so I get what you're saying. You're saying if you haven't called it in 4 years, that means you were never ahead. You were never confident in your own ability to win during that entire time.
And nobody likes a data loser. You need to have confidence. You need to.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So then it's very normal to call elections.
It is very normal, but you usually, there's like a rumblings for a few months, and it's usually not this early, and it's certainly not in the middle of a pandemic. I think that he obviously bungled it. He's always been the like Joe Biden type person you vote for if you're on the left. And, you know, so we have the NDP, which is our Bernie, basically. Our Bernie party is the National Democratic Party. So everyone under 40 who's left wing votes NDP. And everyone above 40 who's a baby boomer votes liberal. And so on the left. So it's liberal is like just a little bit left of center. And it's the Joe Biden, basically. So it's like, you know, together they were you can share seats. You can go, hey, NDP, since the liberals have, let's say, a small majority in order to get, they don't have a majority. Well, they don't have enough seats in the House. They don't have 51% of the seats in the House. They have like 49, right? So they need to get in bed with, another party to get any legislation passed. And they're not going to get in bed with the conservatives, and they're not going to get in bed with the separatist Quebec party, which is always third. And they're not going to, so that basically they're left with the NDP because they see eye to eye on, you know, 60-70% of the stuff. The NDP's, they basically see eye to eye on almost everything, but the NDP's like, can we actually do it? And they're like, no. And so so they always, you know, go with the NDP. And the leader is a Sikh man with a turban. His name is Jagmeet Singh.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you could imagine we have a lot of, you know, conservative. We have a lot of fiscally conservative people who don't care that he has a turban. We have a lot of racist, socially conservative people that really care that he has a turban.
They don't know the difference in Sikh and other things, or they don't even care.
That's absolutely not. Turban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifics.
And I don't know, like a hardcore racist. I think that same thing in America, that group is like blown out of proportion, but they're still powerful. The left is right to be concerned about them because it's, even if it's 1 or 2%, the margins are so slim. You need their power is blown out of proportion because the governments need, you know, potential governments need that small margin to win. Like Trump would never tell the Proud Boys that they're bad because he needs that like 1%.
Yeah.
Even though they're 1%, he needs them. So, you know.
He also would never tell anyone, not to make this about him, but he never tell anyone who likes him, he likes
them.
Well,
if you like him, you're good. Yeah, that's the theory.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
a specific.
No matter who you are. Yeah. I mean, quite literally, no matter who you are. So, it's.
Oh, yeah. Now also, definitely, he's a psychopath. But
he's a psychopath. Yeah. I think we could say that. And which doesn't speak for all Republicans or all conservatives or whatever. But that's his thing. Right. So, okay. So he decides to call it. And he called it in August, thinking like a lot of us did in early August or maybe late July.
Yes.
Like, the pandemic's over. Yes. Woohoo. Like, New York
City's party.
Back. Yeah.
But this is typical. Like if he's like a nice guy, he's, I would say he's average intelligence. He's not dumb. He's not a dumb guy. He's a nice, smart
average
enough
intelligence
guy.
That's what I say about me. I'm a nice guy and average intelligence. That's what I tell everybody.
You could be prime minister of Canada.
Exactly.
If your dad was.
Bob would have been prime minister. Yeah.
And I would never talk about someone's intelligence like that, but his dad was like a fucking genius, right? So you're never not going to be prepared compared to your dad. His dad was a prime minister from like 1969 to 1982 or something like that.
Yeah, it's so long.
Yeah, I think there was a break in the middle for like 3 or 4 years, 4 years probably. Then he got back in there. But anyway, So he is, he completely mistimed the pandemic. I mean, in New York, the pandemic was over in June. And so that's when he probably made his plans. He's like, okay. So what happened was, is Canada was completely underprepared for the pandemic. I don't know if you guys heard, but we didn't have the vaccine till like May, June, you know, July. That's when people were getting their vaccines in
Canada.
Well,
like 6 months after us.
You didn't have Operation Warp Speed.
Way late. And he did do a good job of buying and finagling vaccines, you know, and now, and also implementing the rollout of the vaccines. Like now it's something like 75% of Canadians are fully vaccinated. And,
yeah, you whizzed past us, by the way.
Completely
whizzed
past
us. We had such
America.
A big lead on you. Massive lead.
We had a six-month head start.
Same with Japan, right. By the way. Whizzed past us. That's another story.
I know. Japan's already passed us.
Yeah.
Dark. We did a pod two months ago about how 10% of Japanese people were vaccinated, and now they have more vaccinated than
the
United
States.
They just passed us, yeah. Percentage-wise.
We motivated them. Kicking the butt.
Yeah. You're inspired, the world. but anyway, so he's like, okay, pandemic's over. I did it. If you do anything in Canada and that's better than America as a politician, mm-hmm. call an election.
America. Boom.
Celebrate.
Canadians are so, we just love to be better than America at anything. And so it's like this big brother that ignores us. And we're like, and so, if you can do that, call an election. And that's what he did. And it was stupid for a bunch of reasons. Pandemic expert doctor on TV was saying that there's going to be a second wave and it's going to mutate. And two, you have a population who's just physically exhausted. Physically exhausted from a pandemic, and you're going to put us through that. So there's a lot of anger. Like, oh, and you want us to stand in polls now. You're telling us to, you know, isolate. You're not even allowing us to open up restaurants really that much. And like, Canada is way behind in terms of how open it is. I've been doing comedy up there, and it's like, shows are half full, even though they're allowed to be more full. People are freaked out because the government's like, you got to be careful. You know, you can't be going all, there's like concerts are out. It's like patios are open, but it's super spaced out. Indoors is like 50% for restaurants. Restaurants are struggling. And then he's like, stand in line, go indoors, vote for me. And it's like, dude, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're so tired of this. Can we just not have to worry about the election right now? You work. You just do your work. And so people are pissed. For many Canadians, for like, you know, 45% of Canadians, they hate him anyway. And then 55 to 60% of Canadians who voted for him, half of those people, it was a concession vote. You know, it was like our Joe Biden, like, okay, at least he's not Trump kind of vote.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
So It was completely stupid. He was thinking that he could get the left, he could get the NDP people, and he could get the conservatives who vote either or, like kind of people vote straight down the middle to vote, and everyone's pissed at him. It's completely stupid.
Yeah, because people hate elections. I hate elections. Do you who likes an election cycle? So it's like
Yeah, even though it's you know, there's a mandate that the Canadian election has to be short. And, you know, it's not one of these, like, these marathon year and a half.
It's 36 days.
36
days. Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, it's still a month. Give us a break. It's like still warm. We only get warm weather for 6 months of the year. Screw off. Like,
yeah.
Let's enjoy it.
Well, the other thing that I didn't even think about is that, because you kind of forget, I think this, and I think this goes globally, is that whatever your country is on in terms of the pandemic, like if we're all getting vaccines now or we're all like locked inside now, you almost forget that everyone else in the world is not experiencing it exactly as you are. I kind of forgot, but Canada was, our neighbors are Canadians, and they were telling us that for the past year and a half, there's been way more lockdowns than, the U.S. has barely did anything. 2 weeks, right, Kaplan, to stop the spread.
It's not 2 weeks in New York. But yeah.
We locked down for 2 weeks. I mean, New York City was 3 months, but I could tell you most of the country was two weeks.
Yeah, I know. And we're still, yeah.
Canada was like in and out and back in and back in and like all that kind of stuff. So then I get it. Then you're telling people like, don't be safe, stay inside. Oh, wait, but go vote for me now.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, what about, so they had these debates the other day, and I just read about them quickly. They sounded
boring.
Me
to sleep reading about them.
The New York Times article about it was like, this was so boring, nothing happened. But what I did find interesting is that they have 2 days of debates because day one's in English and day two is in French.
Yeah.
So what if you can't speak French?
Are they all?
You can't be prime minister.
You can't. You could, but it's going to be harder for you to be prime minister. And yeah. I'm sure there's going to be like a Trump type person who will be a conservative candidate who's like, I don't need to speak French. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, and most conservatives who get elected, they like go, they understand that we're trying to unify a divided country and they take French lessons. And they go, they have a terrible accent, but they muddle through it and they learn French, right? But there's going to be definitely the way the world is going, some Trump maniac. And he's just going to be like, I don't need to learn French. And he's going to get elected.
Wait, I have a question. Do your Trump maniacs also have Southern accents?
What's a Canadian Southern accent? Yeah. What's the equivalent?
I don't need to learn French.
It's a northern accent or western. I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely not. You
know, with the
I was more American. I was more upstate New York.
I read in about the debates about how they make you, I don't know if you watched it or if you've seen it in the past, but they make the candidates aren't allowed to speak at a turn and they stick to it. The moderator, which is like in America would never work. They just, especially Trump, but all candidates do. They just talk over. Trump just blew over the person.
We are 5 years behind America culturally in terms of trends. And I guarantee in 5 years, I'm predicting a Doug Ford, Trump-like presidential prime minister, sorry, PM candidate. I've been in America. I live in America now, but I'm becoming American. But anyway, I predict that type of person. And that person to talk over, like, it's going to degrade. Already, we're starting to see people like anti-maskers and throwing rocks at Trudeau and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like American style.
They threw tomatoes at him or something. I saw
people and rocks.
And rocks. Yeah.
But So yes, that we do
well,
that.
What about,
and that's, to answer your first question, it's translated, right? So they have they dull the French they turn up the English translator.
Got
but
it.
Nobody they talk about the same stuff basically. So you just watch the English one when if you speak English,
okay,
and then you don't watch the French one, and then you watch the news the next day, and then they say if anything happens.
I mean, I would imagine if your French is like perfect, you can probably kill it compared to these people who are just like gutting their way through broken French.
But they're like, you can kill it, but their population, like if you are like your electorate, if you're an English speaker, especially if you're conservative, doesn't give two shits if you speak French or not.
Oh, okay.
And they're not watching that debate. They're not going to
okay
sit through an hour of that spy talk.
But then aren't
like
the people
day two of the it's like day two of the NFL draft. Like people aren't
yes.
But isn't also like the separatists are not gonna vote for either of the candidates anyway, right? If you're a Quebec separatist. Like they're not
no.
So of the 25% that speak French or whatever it is, a chunk of them are definitely voting for the separatist party, right? So you really
see. Yeah. They're either voting liberal or separatist.
Yeah.
What about comedy? Go ahead.
Go ahead, that's it.
No, you know how like comedy, I think we might have talked a bit about this last time, but how comedy in the US has started to like we don't do this, but there's a certain percentage of comedians who decide like if I go hard right or hard left, that's a good career move, right?
Yeah.
And that way I don't have to be so funny. I can just be hard right or hard left and get a lot of cheers with my audiences. Is that happening in Canada with comedians? Or do you know?
There is very few far right.
Okay.
It is.
That's coming. That's 5 years away.
Sure. It is. There is a lot of very far left. And one of the big ones just got taken down for, this was a trans man. So used to identify as female.
Got it.
And they were always trying to elevate themselves by using that platform and also trying to, you know, cancel people and divide the community. And then they got called out. That person went on like when the Louis C.K. came up to Toronto, they went on this big, took a big stand against it, and which is perfectly their right. And then, but somebody wrote under the comments, by the way, you abuse women. And it turns out all these people came out that person was abusing women. And so now that sort of like far left scene in the comedy community, it's like, they don't have a leader, and and they're just kind of all like, you know,
trying to figure out what to do.
But it is very divided. It is that the scene is becoming more divided, and there's more. And it's like, oh, this is like a dumb comedy talk, but it is a microcosm of society. It is
totally
sort of a good example of what's happening on the streets. It's like there are certain places where you cannot perform comedy if you have been. If people say that you're not in that group.
Oh, wow.
You know I mean, if you're like, say the wrong thing, or they go, you have to make, if you do a comedy show, you have to say it's a safe space.
Really?
And if you're like, why? Yeah, it's a safe, I guess it's a safe space.
You have to
space,
say
sure.
It's a safe space.
Like you announce okay, yeah, to start the show.
You go, okay, it's a safe space. And then you have to, and then if somebody says something like makes a joke that triggers somebody, even if the joke is not mean, then you have to apologize as the showrunner and ban that person. And that person can't have a career anymore, by the way.
What, you ban the comedian from the show as like the host?
This is like, and if you don't do that, then you get banned.
Oh, it's on you then.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's a red scare.
That's a lot of
pressure. Yeah, it's a red scare. Yeah. So it's very interesting. And I'm a very left person, you know.
Oh, I'm not asking, by the way, I'm not asking you to name names. I'm saying this is what they would do. I'm not saying, Graham, name names or else you're good. That's very similar, right?
That's scary. But that's crazier than us.
It's actually a wild world for someone who does. I mean, I feel like pretty fortunate that I never staked my claim on. I just wanted like to tell jokes. Because I feel like all
that scene is small enough that you're kind of, someone can force you to name. They can force you to stake a claim. You know,
it's a bummer. You're saying you can't be someone who, like, if I was like, I just tell jokes, they'd be like, no, well, that means you're part of the other side.
You're part of the problem, right. Then, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't go to Canada, Turner. Stay in Texas.
In Oklahoma. Texas loves me. Oh, we got to take a break, Cap. Let's do this quickly. Yeah. So this is, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. We should say that first.
Of course, obviously.
This is a collection of the smartest podcasts in the world run by comedians trying to help you get smarter. We have The Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. Fantastic show. Professor Andrew Heaton. He will be with me all this week running around Texas. Check that out. And Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy, also comedian Andrea Jones-Roy, is what I call her.
The doctor
of comedy.
She's
a doctor, but I knew her first as a comedian. She's her show is called, what's it called, Kaplan?
Majoring in Everything?
That's it, Majoring in Everything. Yes. It's a brand new show, Majoring in Everything. Brand. She's on week two, and she says we're going to be on it sometime soon. So check those out. Go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. Go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com to get all those shows. And now, as we said, if you give us $20 a month, you get your own ad once a month on this show. We'll say whatever you want us to say. Dennis Owens, he went up to $31 a month because he's trying to be our highest Patreon subscriber. He said, I want, these are his words. I want to give a shout out to the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. I should note that he wrote this on August 24th.
Overconfident that first game.
In preparation for the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. Their heart, their work effort, and their work effort. He's a lawyer, by the way. Their hearts
aren't
the
best writers.
Their work effort and their indomitable, he spells it with a B, indomitable spirit gives me hope that we can overcome any obstacle in the United States. Oh, wait, if the U.S. could come together as a team. And then he says, locked in. So the Chiefs, he makes a note at the bottom. I want this. He finishes by saying, I want this, even if they've have started 0-2 or 0-3 or whatever week you read this. I still want them to say, I want you to say they're undefeated because he paid $31.
I mean, he went out on a limb there.
Clearly made this decision while he was drunk. And that's great.
He makes a lot of decisions while he was drunk.
He's the best lawyer in Missouri and Kansas. Just so
well, he's one of the few who can work on both sides of Kansas City, the Missouri and Kansas part.
And he really went out on a limb and predicted the Chiefs would win a game. They are the best team in football, but he's like Justin Trudeau. He was confident, we're going to win. I'm going to write this message.
Pass the bar in two states, Dennis Owens. All right, and now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back. Graham, I want to know this. Is this a thing? Because the elections are like, it's a 36-day campaign. Does that mean that in Canada, people are only talking politics for those 36 days? Like if you're hanging out at a bar or talking with your family at dinner, what's that culture like compared to the U.S.?
It's the stakes aren't as high generally. So you don't, it's not everywhere, I guess, is here. And there's like this sort of, we don't have the media machine that you guys have that just jams it down your throats every time you like. It's not sports yet up there like it is here. So it's not ubiquitous, I guess, if that's the right word. But you're definitely talking about it, like, but you know, I called my parents yesterday. We didn't talk about it once. So
yeah, that wouldn't happen if we had an election coming up. I mean, it's September 20th is the election, so we're like a week away.
Right.
Just send them this podcast, your parents, then they can know your views on the election without talking to them directly.
yeah. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. Probably Trudeau, because I don't.
Well, let's get into the other guys. We got Aaron O'Toole, who honestly, it took me like 7 articles to realize that was a man. E-R-I-N is how
that would not fly in America.
In the US, girls spell it E-R-I-N.
How do men spell it in America?
A-A-R-O-N.
Or like a Jewish guy.
Yeah, Aaron. There's no male name Aaron in America, is there?
Not with an E.
Yeah,
no.
And
then the picture I saw with the first article I read, it was in The Economist, and it was a picture of like the whole family. So I literally just thought, like, oh, that's Aaron, the mom. That's Aaron. And I had written notes like, have you guys ever had a female
glass
prime minister
ceiling
before? This could be big news. And then it was like, oh, wait, it's a guy.
amazing.
So Aaron O'Toole is the.
We have had a female prime minister, because instead of going the full years. In the early 90s, Brian Mulroney was like, I'm out. I know I'm going to lose.
Why? He quit?
See you later. He quit with like like 3 years, and he didn't want to lose. And he was like, before the election, he just quit right before the election. So we had a female prime minister who was a sacrificial lamb, Kim Campbell, for like, I think like 4 months, and then she got slaughtered.
Is that better or worse than our record where, you know, they made her a sacrificial lamb, but you've never voted for a female. So,
yeah.
Nice of you. Glass ceiling.
Anyway,
so Aaron O'Toole is I started researching him. He's a conservative, but not real. Like in America, I don't even know if we would consider him a conservative. Like his big issues. He's pro the environment,
workers' rights.
He's not pro the environment. He just says he none of his actions. He wants the pipeline. He wants more oil and gas. He's not pro-environment. He's just like,
oh,
do you want the world to explode? He's like, no.
That's pro-environment America.
I see. Yeah. In America, that's all you have to do. Yeah.
But Trudeau was pro-pipeline too. So, you know.
He wants to reduce the gender wage gap, I read. And he wants
which is something Trump would say. Like, that's not crazy. Yeah.
I don't think Trump would say that. I mean, like, but we're not dealing on a level platform here. So Mitt Romney would probably say that.
Right.
So is he much different from Trudeau?
Who, Mitt Romney?
No, O'Toole. Like, they seem like they both have come to the center. They're trying to get, like, the center vote.
He wants to privatize our healthcare system and make it like America.
Oh,
it's, I didn't know. We didn't miss that.
Like, crazy. You know, he wants to do more. He just wants to completely restructure the tax base. He wants to do away with a lot of social programs. The main thing is the healthcare system, which I think needs to be protected at all costs. And he's trying to sort of be like how, like, I'm having a brain fart. Who's the guy with the messy hair, the British Prime Minister?
Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Boris Johnson is you know, he's privatizing. He's just slowly chipping away at their healthcare system. And, you know.
Is that a debt issue or what's the reason? Is there some, because I can't imagine that's a popular issue to privatize health insurance. Or?
Well, I mean, you could sell it to people. Because the right wing will be like, oh, yeah, it'll be better for us. You know, you'll get the uneducated people at the bottom who are easy to trick. And then you'll get the rich people who will get rich people health care. Right now, they're forced to have, you know, very good health care. And if they want to get, like, their knee replaced in a week, they fly to the U.S. And now they want to fly to the U.S. So, you know.
That's our specialty.
It's like... You know, Canadian healthcare system is excellent and we all live longer. I see people here in America with like weird humps that I never see in Canada. That's true. Like,
that's
I was
our diet, though.
And he had like a big like arm thing here, a comedian. I was like, what is that? You know, it was just something you could say in Canada. You'd be like, what the hell? You know, did you fall and hurt it? You know? And he's like, no, I've just never had healthcare. It was so, I immediately was like, I got to get out of here.
What?
I'm in the wrong place. Yeah,
he's had it his whole life.
He's like it would cost him too much to get it removed, and it's some like weird benign cyst thing. But in like Canada, you would just get it taken care of when you are 11. That's when it started.
Crazy.
Yeah, and he's just never had healthcare, and it's just like I see shit like that, like. I'm very appreciative of the American government giving me a green card, and I'm appreciative of all the opportunities I have.
This sounds like a hostage video.
No, but that's true.
We're gonna name names.
I don't want to be like, I fucking hate it when people move to a country and they're like, this place sucks. I was like, leave.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Fine, leave. You know what I mean? I don't want to come across as one of those people. I live in America. I like it a lot. And I always defend America when I'm abroad. But like when I see shit like that, I'm like, I'm in the wrong place. What the fuck am I doing here?
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, I mean we have the state healthcare plan, my wife and I do, and it's not cheap. It's 10 grand a year for it's like 5 grand each.
Right. Cuz we have a whole thing,
and that's
based
like
on
the
employment.
Obamacare that people say is like you're basically giving it away. And it's like they're not really giving it away. It's still 10 grand.
Obamacare's
And then we have to pay out of pocket to get, you know, most stuff you have to then it's not like that's it and then you're covered. You still have to pay for stuff.
But if you need a knee replacement, you can get it quickly. So it's a give and take.
So this O'Toole guy is, what are his chances of winning? I mean, I get this idea that people are mad at Trudeau for calling an election, but do we think it'll really change their vote when it comes right down to it?
I have no idea. I don't even know what the polls are right now. I told you guys before, like, I'm out of it.
But are you voting? You vote absentee? Is that how?
Like I haven't even figured that out. You reminded me. That's one thing I have to do today.
There you go.
But I do vote absentee. I voted for Trudeau last time because I just was like, I just wanted something stable. You know, I wanted I wanted it to be left of center and just stable. And, it's just not happening. The whole point that we voted for him is you just set it and leave it like a crock pot. And yeah. Now he's making like the it Biden annoying. Vote. Yeah. No, he's not doing that. So
what about Jagmeet Singh? What's his, he was a TikTok star, right? And he became a politician.
Really?
That's the sentence I read.
I mean, no, he's not. He wasn't like doing dancing. And then I don't know his background. I think that he had, I mean, his TikToks were politically based, and he also had a background in organizing and in politics, community organizing and in politics and whatever, you know. I don't think
that makes more sense.
Yeah, but I'm guessing at that. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the odds are, it sounds like if Trudeau wins, he's going to have to form a government with, with the Greens anyway. And if the Conservatives win, they would have to form a government probably with the far right to get a majority, correct? I mean, it's not. So it doesn't seem like Trudeau's going to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. So even if he wins,
he's going to have like three different parties he's going to have the Greens and the NDP to come together. And the good news is the Conservatives are on an island by themselves. They have no one else they can go to make a government. So, right. For example, if you had 30% of the vote, and the Liberals had 40% of the vote, and the other, what is that? The other 30% of the votes were spread out over these other third and fourth parties. The Conservatives could theoretically grab those other two 15% and make deals with them, and then become the leaders because they have the most amount of seats.
Yeah,
in that total. Triumvirate, even though they have 30%, right? And but they're on an island. There's no other. There's like the Freedom Party, which is a scary meme party, which is like getting like one, two, three percent of the like people who are online and believe you shouldn't masturbate and that there should be no immigration and blah 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 blah.
No vaccinations and stuff like that.
No vaccinations and whatever. But they're not. I mean, I can't see them winning like more than one seat. You know, maybe like some suburban riding somewhere.
But, okay, yeah. So and they're not going to get the Green Party, and they're not going to get the Jagmeet Singh's like far left part or the left.
So they
party.
Need to do really they well on their own. Party. Yeah, the Conservatives.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And what happened in I don't know if we talked about this last time, but in
2018, which they've done in the past. You know, because almost half the country votes for them. So.
Right. I saw in 2019 they actually got more of the popular vote by a slight margin, even though they lost the Conservatives, because so much of the rest of the country in like the, I guess what you'd call the middle of the country was voting for them. But it's like a parliament, so it's all about your local seats and Trudeau does so well in the big cities and the suburbs, right? So.
Yeah.
So he can lose. So in 2019 he lost. He actually went down. So his whole point this time was he wanted to get like he wanted to not have to form a coalition, right? And he thought
that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, he
that's what Cap was saying earlier.
Gonna happen. Yeah.
Yeah, he thought his popularity was so high that he could do that. And that's like now that's out the window and he's now just basically trying to hold on to any amount of power.
I think that it's the sleepy left are going to push him over. People like me. Mm-hmm. Are going to
you are the sleepy left.
The ones that are just like we're not talking about it, we're not tweeting about it, we're not
silent majority.
We're just gonna go to the polls and be like fuck oh shit okay fine. And all my friends probably want me to vote NDP, but I'm too scared to make the actual plunge. I'm reading some article right now published yesterday saying that the Liberals are inching forward in a narrow election. So
I saw that he actually benefited from being, when he got the rocks thrown at him. They said, somebody said that his poll numbers, the way he responded to getting rocks thrown at him, it was the first time of the campaign that Trudeau showed energy, they said. And they said it lifted his poll numbers last week.
They said
week,
it finally gave him a purpose.
He's a counterpuncher. So he's against having rocks thrown at him. It gave him a message. Because they said there's no message in this campaign. They've been lacking.
So.
Yeah. So
that's good. Good for him. Maybe it was a setup. It was.
Oh yeah, he got some.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah, it was,
what do they call
actor.
That? A phone?
Crisis
actors. False flag.
Yes. Yeah, crisis,
like, listen,
actors.
I know this sounds crazy, but this is all we got.
Throw rocks at me. I could take.
I
I'm
have
padding.
No reason. Well, because in this debate, they kept asking him, like, "Why did you call for an election?" I guess all the other four parties, which is the people who want Quebec independence, Jagmeet Singh's party, and the Democrat, I mean the Republic, whatever, the Conservatives, and the far, whatever. Oh, and the Greens. They were all saying, like, why did you call this election? We don't need to have this election. And he didn't really have a real answer.
Yeah.
And then when he got rocks thrown at him, he was like, because we need to defeat these people.
Exactly. He had a message. Yeah. Because it is amazing that he's being attacked by people who want his job because they don't want there to be an election. Like, it's a circular, like, they're saying, I want you in power.
They're begrudgingly, I would not be on this stage if I did not have to.
Yeah, I don't think I should.
I don't want
stage,
this
but...
election. I don't want to win, but I might have to just to
you've
prove
shown,
me wrong.
Yeah, to show your poor leadership by even forcing my hand here. So, but and then I have a question. I read that once the elections are over, there's a thing called the throne speech. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where, like, basically the new government makes a speech on the House of the Parliament, and then the Parliament gets to vote on the speech. It's like a State of the Union kind of thing, where it's like, this is all the things we're gonna do. And then the parliament gets to vote on it. And if they don't like the speech, the thing's all dissolved. Is that like ever happened?
It's actually happened. Elections thrown out?
They basically don't have a government again. And they have to, like, figure it out if they have to come up with a new speech or then they have another election. So is that?
Well, basically what happens is you the deals have already been made. You go with your coalition government. You go to Jagmeet Singh if you're Trudeau or whoever the new leader of the Green Party is. And you go, like, I'm going to say all these things. Cool. And they go, change this. And you go, fuck.
Oh. So they're all in on the script. As long as you don't go off script.
Yeah. And they go do the little thing. And then everyone goes, and then the NDP gets to go to their voters and go, we made them change this thing. And that's good. And then that's it. And that's what happens. So.
And it's all stuff that's never going to happen, probably.
Yeah, that sounds like something that, like, a rule made 200 years ago when everyone wore wigs and they, like, got in fist fights.
Yes, but it's also a good, like, you know, it's good for sound bites. It's good for TV the next day. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And then you get to show the conservatives going, boo.
Oh, they boo. They do that
or
thing.
Or the liberals going, boo, if the conservatives win. You know, it's kind of fun. It makes for
what I like with ours is, like, at the State of the Union, if like it's a Democratic president, then no matter what he says, he's like, hello, everyone. And the Democrats give him a standing ovation. Always standing ovation. And then the Republicans just sit and, like, stare blankly.
And they have to decide things they're going to agree. Yeah. When there's, like, something they say about, like, the troops, they have to look at their coat. Like, you're on the other side. You're like, oh, I'm allowed to clap for this, even though I'm like,
yeah, they're all looking, like, at the leader to, like, be like, do can I do we it? Clap? Because he said, God bless the troops. We like God. We like the troops.
Yeah.
But we don't like him. So they're doing this, like, mental math real quick. Figure out what's. And then they're like, I don't want to be seen on TV not clapping when he says, God bless the troops.
Yeah, you gotta be ready for that.
Boo! I mean, Yeah, that's when you take a drink of water and you just go what?
Yeah. You're like, run out to the bathroom.
I'm drinking water.
Asleep. Yeah.
Is there a chance if you and all your friends and enough people voted for the NDC? Is that what it's called? The NDC?
NDP?
National Democratic Party.
Apologies, NDP. Then if the NDP got, say, 28% and Trudeau's party got, like, 21%, and they had to, or whatever the numbers would work out, 25%, and they formed a coalition, but the NDP had more percentage, then would Jagmeet Singh, would he be the prime minister?
Absolutely, of course, yeah.
Okay, if you're real more aligned with him and you know they're going to form a coalition anyway, then would it be like, well, vote for him, vote for his party, because then he could be prime minister? Is that how people think like
that? It's a good point, but I also feel like it'll never happen.
Okay.
They're truly like the... There has never been anything other than a conservative or a liberal government in Canada.
They're like the kingmakers in the sense that they have to go along.
It's like here.
But we don't have a third party.
You try to vote Green Party in America and like everyone shames you. They're like, that's a vote for... You're a Nazi. Like, that's a vote for Trump. That's a vote
libertarian.
For
the... Yeah. Where that's the one advantage of the parliamentary system is you actually, that vote isn't thrown away because if that person wins your riding, they can have influence, especially in a majority government and a coalition government. That person can actually have some influence over your, you know, neoliberal center government.
But I've read some people say that the NDP could form a coalition with the Conservative Party because they agree on some issues. But it sounds like that's not realistic, right? That's not gonna. It sounds like all your friends would be upset if they did that.
I they would be so upset. And I mean, look, it's
sellouts.
It would, yeah. Also nothing would get done. Everyone. I can't think of a scenario where. Everyone is more upset than that. The conservatives would be so upset.
Yeah.
These like
they'd be like, we're with a seat guy.
My communist friends would be so pissed.
It would be a fun scenario though, from a trolling perspective.
The NDP is not communist, but if you are communist, you vote NDP. If you're not gonna vote for the Communist Party.
TikTok is a Chinese platform, so I'm sure that's why he's, you know. Maybe he got big on TikTok because China's been like boosting him, artificially boosting him. Like, oh, we need.
Oh, they're getting involved. That's good if they're getting involved in Canadian elections. That's a big, big compliment.
Sure, you can find a right wing article saying that somewhere.
Turner's going to write it.
If you look for 2 minutes on Google, I'm sure you can find it on a semi reputable platform.
China runs TikTok, and that's why Singh's on it. Yeah.
Wait, just take that clip, Turner, and make it go viral on
I was going to say, we have a lot of new fans. We have a big fan base now. The Canadian far right racist.
Canadian Q. Do you have Q up there?
What?
Is there Q in Canada?
Or no? Everywhere in the world.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know if it was QAnon, Do they have them up
there? Yeah. We're concerned. It's a big issue. We're really concerned about the underground pedophile rings.
Cap, you know QAnon's from the Philippines.
Turns out they're just called the Catholic Church.
And
they killed a bunch of Aboriginal First Nations people. I guess you're not.
If you want to hear that, Graham was on about 10 episodes ago. We talked about that.
Is that factor into the election at all, or no? Is that an issue at all?
I don't know how. I'm sure it does.
That's 10 weeks ago.
I'm sure the conservatives are like. Aaron O'Toole's like, it was bad. What do you want? What the hell? That's what happens, you know? Let's stop harping on it. Stop harping on it. Move forward. That's probably, if I had to guess what his position is.
I'm never going to see this guy Aaron O'Toole speak, so I'm always going to hear that's his voice in my head.
I've read he's boring. He's pretty boring.
Yes. He's like he looks like a conservative prime minister. They look so boring. They look like Lego. Like Lego man.
Like a TV show.
I mean,
caricature
these are people
of a conservative.
That in the United States it wouldn't like you have to have now to be president, you have to have such like TV level charisma, TV star. I mean literally like TV
star.
Well,
not Joe Biden, he doesn't have TV charisma.
He's got something. He's a handsome man.
He's got those shades.
He's tall.
He's
skinny.
Folksy. You're right.
Yeah, he's folksy. You know, he's just 100. But
he wears aviator sunglasses.
That's the thing about Jagmeet is he's like with it, and he's like 42 or whatever. He's like youngish, and he's like handsome as hell. You know, he's like this tall, broad shouldered. You know, handsome
I think that's
guy.
The future.
Trudeau's not gonna want to make a like isn't Trudeau like to be the good looking one? I mean, is he gonna want to make a coalition government with the other guy?
Sounds like he likes the
attention.
Yeah,
be an issue. All right, well, I think I gotta take off. I gotta get to Ardmore, Oklahoma. Everybody,
all right, Ardmore.
Lucky. So,
show tonight. I don't know if tickets are still available for that one. I'll have to call over and find out.
Turner will be naming names tonight.
Yes, that's it. All right, that's it. Thank you, Graham K. Everybody check him out. Instagram K, G-R-A-H-M.
I'm touring. I'm going to be opening for Nate Bargatze all over the red states. And I'm going to be awesome. Also going to be doing my own shows on the last 2 weeks of October, the third week of October in St. Louis and the last week of October in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. All my tickets are at GrahamK.com. That's it.
Very cool. That sounds great. Pennsylvania. We have a big listenership in Pennsylvania.
Oh, we're huge in PA.
From Pennsylvania. Yeah.
We'll send all the Kaplan crazies out there.
The Kaplan, well, you have your own fan base now.
I have my own fans now. Yeah, they're.
Oh Jesus!
They edit the bunker show. So this my mom, basically, I'm talking about.
My fans are called the K Lords.
The K.
Yeah.
The what?
Oh, also listen to my fans are called the K Lords. Jokes are best when you have to repeat them. Also, I forgot to say. Listen, I have a new fake edgy podcast. It's like a Colbert Report style podcast, a fake edgy podcast called The Edge Lords. I do it with Robbie Slowick, who's a writer on the new Jon Stewart show that's coming out on HBO.
Whoa, and, really? I know Robbie. That's great. He's writing on that show.
Yeah. He got staff. The boy got staff. Amazing. And... also, I have a comedy special on YouTube called Graham K. Stupid Jokes, which I'm very proud of. Okay.
There
bye-bye.
We go.
There you
Graham
go.
Graham K. That's it, everybody. Cap, what should we do?
I just got very smart. It's time to get lost.
Get lost.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.